All right, that's it for the show. Thanks for listening, everybody. Have a good week. The playlist is at WRCT.org. You've been listening to A Minute Pause. Sean Watson here on WRCT, Pittsburgh. See ya.
How large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Today, one in five Americans experience emotional and mental health challenges, but many of us don't know how to ask for help.
At the American Psychiatric Association Foundation, we work every day to eliminate stigma and advance mental health. Visit mentallyhealthynation.org to learn more.
WRCT Pittsburgh. It's more fun when it doesn't make any sense.
this is Adam Clayton here, the bass player from U2. You're listening to WRCT Pittsburgh 88.3 FM.
do with you. I'm alive. We'll be right back.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for kids, teens, or young adults. It's just not.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals and volatile organic compounds into your body.
And nicotine, the same highly addictive substance found in regular cigarettes.
Nicotine can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
Affecting learning, memory, attention, and impulse control. And priming the brain for other addictions.
Vaping products also come in kid-friendly flavors that can make them appealing to youth.
And many kids also use other drugs, like marijuana, in vaping devices.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media,
many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping, because when you talk, they hear you.
For more information, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
You're listening to WRCT Pittsburgh 88.3 FM.
Kind of helped us, the IRS.
My name is Aubriana with WRCT Pittsburgh. You are listening to the Goodnight Garden. I still have to workshop the name of my show because it is a slightly warmer Tuesday. I hope everyone has had a good start to the week. This week we will be getting back into Winnie the Pooh. Last week we read the first chapter of Winnie the Pooh and then got into the second chapter where we were introduced to Rabbit, and Winnie the Pooh went and visited Rabbit in his house and was struggling to get out of his house. So that's where we left off. But before we get started, just go ahead and take some time to, I don't know, maybe get some coffee, water, and then come back. We'll sit down and just read for the next half hour. I don't know, I just like it to be nice and low key. This week, I'm not gonna have any music playing in the background. We're gonna have a nice little like fireplace, because I know for some people the music was a little bit distracting. So we're gonna try the fireplace this week. Here we go. Hopefully this works. There we go. We got a fireplace now. Okay. I'm gonna move the mic closer to me. And we're gonna get started. Let's see here. We are gonna start with Rabbit saying, If we can't pull you out, Pooh, we might push you back. Rabbit scratched his whiskers thoughtfully and pointed out that once Pooh was pushed back, he was back. And of course, nobody was more glad to see Pooh than he was. Still, there it was. Some lived in trees and some lived underground. And, "You mean I'd never get out?" said Pooh. "I mean," said Rabbit, "that having got so far, it seems a pity to waste it." Christopher Robin nodded. "Then there's only one thing to be done," he said. "We shall have to wait for you to get thin again." "How long does getting thin take?" asked Pooh anxiously. "About a week, I should think. But I can't stay here for a week." "You can stay here, all right, silly old bear. It's getting you out, which is so difficult." "We'll read to you," said Rabbit cheerfully. "And I hope it won't snow," he added. "And I say, old fellow, you're taking up a good deal of room in my house. Do you mind if I use your back legs as a towel horse? Because, I mean, there they are, doing nothing. And it would be very convenient just to hang the towels on them." "A week," said Pooh gloomily. "What about meals?" "I'm afraid no meals," said Christopher Robin, "because of getting thinner, quicker. But we will read to you." Bear began to sigh, then found he couldn't because he was so tightly stuck, and a tear rolled down his eye as he said, "Then would you read a sustaining book such as would help and comfort a wedged bear in great tightness?" So for a week, Christopher Robin read that sort of book at the north end of Pooh, and Rabbit hung his washing on the south end, and in between, Bear felt himself getting slenderer and slenderer. And at the end of the week, Christopher Robin said, "Now." So he took hold of Pooh's front paws, and Rabbit took hold of Christopher Robin, and all Rabbit's friends and relations took hold of Rabbit, and they all pulled together. And for a long time, Pooh said, "Ow," and "Oh," and then all of a sudden, he said, "Pop," just as if a cork were coming out of a bottle. And Christopher Robin and Rabbit and all Rabbit's friends and relations went head over heels backwards. And on top of them came Winnie the Pooh, free. So with a nod of thanks to his friends, he went on with his walk through the forest, humming proudly to himself. But Christopher Robin looked after him lovingly and said to himself, "Silly old bear." And that's the end of chapter 2. It's kind of a crazy ending, I think. This is my first time reading Winnie the Pooh with you all. I did read the first chapter to kind of see what I was getting myself into, but That was an interesting story. Very, very fun. I can't believe he went a week without any honey. All right, now we're on to chapter 3, in which Pooh and Piglet go hunting and nearly catch a woozle. The Piglet lived in a very grand house in the middle of a beech tree, and the beech tree was in the middle of the forest. And the Piglet lived in the middle of the house. Next to his house was a piece of broken board which had "Trespassers W" on it. When Christopher Robin asked the Piglet what it meant, he said it was his grandfather's name and had been in the family for a long time. Christopher Robin said you couldn't be called Trespassers W, and Piglet said yes, you could, because his grandfather was, and it was short for Trespassers Will, which was short for Trespassers William. And his grandfather had two names in case he lost one, Trespassers after an uncle and William after Trespassers. "I've got two names," said Christopher Robin carelessly. "Well, there you are, that proves it," said Piglet. One fine winter's day, when Piglet was brushing away the snow in front of his house, he happened to look up, and there was Winnie the Pooh. Pooh was walking round and round in a circle, thinking of something else. When Piglet called to him, he just went on walking. "Hello," said Piglet. What are you doing?
Hunting, said Pooh. Hunting what?
Tracking something, said Winnie the Pooh, very mysteriously.
Tracking what? Said Piglet, coming closer.
That's just what I ask myself. I ask myself, what?
What do you think you'll answer?
I shall have to wait until I catch up with it, said Winnie the Pooh. Now, look there, he pointed to the ground in front of him.
What do you see there?
Tracks, said Piglet.
Paw marks.
He gave a little squeak of excitement. Oh, Pooh, do you think it's a woozle?
It may be, said Pooh.
Sometimes it is, and sometimes it isn't. You never can tell with paw marks. With these few words, he went on tracking, and Piglet, after watching him for a minute or two, ran after him.
Winnie the Pooh had come to a sudden stop and was bending over the tracks in a puzzled sort of way.
What's the matter? Said Piglet.
It's a very funny thing, said Bear. There seem to be two animals now. This whatever it was has been joined by another whatever it was. And the two of them are now proceeding in company. Would you mind coming with me, Piglet, in case they turn out to be hostile animals?
Piglet scratched his ear in a nice sort of way and said that he had nothing to do until Friday and would be delighted to come in case it really was a woozle.
You mean in case it really is two woozles? Said Winnie the Pooh. And Piglet said that anyhow, he had nothing to do until Friday. So off they went together.
There was a small spinney of larch trees just here, and it seemed as if the two woozles, if that is what they were, had been going round this spinnery. So round this spinney went Pooh and Piglet after them. Piglet passing the time by telling Pooh what his grandfather, Trespassers W, had done to remove stiffness after tracking, and how his grandfather, Trespassers W, had suffered in his later years from shortness of breath, and other matters of interest. And Pooh was wondering what a grandfather was like, and if perhaps this was two grandfathers they were after now, and if so, whether he would be allowed to take one home and keep it, and what Christopher Robin would say. And still, the tracks went on in front of them. Suddenly, Winnie the Pooh stopped and pointed excitedly in front of him.
Look!
What? Said Piglet with a jump. And then, to show that he hadn't been frightened, he jumped up and down once or twice in an exercising sort of way.
The tracks, said Pooh. A third animal has joined the other two.
Pooh, cried Piglet, do you think it is another woozle?
No, said Pooh, because it makes different marks. It is either two woozles and one, as it might be whizzle, or two, as it might be whizzles and one. If so it is woozle, let us continue to follow them.
So they went on, feeling just a little anxious now, in case the three animals in front of them were of hostile intent. And Piglet wished very much that his grandfather T.W. were there, instead of elsewhere, and Pooh thought how nice it would be if they met Christopher Robin suddenly, but accidentally, and only because he liked Christopher Robin so much. And then, all of a sudden, Winnie the Pooh stopped again and licked the tip of his nose in a cooling manner, for he was feeling more hot and anxious than ever in his life before. There were four animals in front of them. Do you see, Piglet? Look at their tracks. There, as it were, woozles, and one, as it was, whizzle. Another woozle has joined them. And so it seemed to be. There were the tracks, crossing over each other here, getting muddled up with each other over there. But quite plainly, every now and then, the tracks of four sets of paws.
I think, said Piglet, when he had licked the tip of his nose too, and found that it brought very little comfort.
I think that I have just remembered something. I have just remembered something that I forgot to do yesterday and shan't be able to do tomorrow, so I suppose I really ought to go back and do it now.
We'll do it this afternoon, and I'll come with you, said Pooh.
It isn't the sort of thing you can do in the afternoon, said Piglet quickly. It's a very particular morning thing that has to be done in the morning, and if possible, between the hours of What would you say the time was? About 12, said Winnie the Pooh, looking at the sun. Between, as I was saying, the hours of 12 and 12:05, so really, dear old Pooh, if you'll excuse me, what's that? Pooh looked up at the sky, and then, as he heard the whistle again, he looked up into the branches of a big oak tree. And then he saw a friend of his. It's Christopher Robin, he said. Ah, then you'll be all right, said Piglet. You'll be quite safe with him. Goodbye. And he trotted off home as quickly as he could, very glad to be out of all danger again. Christopher Robin came slowly down his tree. Silly old bear, he said. What were you doing? First you went round the spinney twice by yourself, and then Piglet ran after you, and you went round again, and then you were just going round a fourth time. Wait a moment, said Winnie the Pooh, holding up his paw. He sat down and thought in the most thoughtful way he could think. Then he fitted his paw into one of the tracks. Then he scratched his nose twice and stood up. Yes, said Winnie the Pooh. I see now, said Winnie the Pooh. I have been foolish, said he, and I'm a bear of no brain at all. You're the best bear in the whole world, said Christopher Robin soothingly. Am I? Said Pooh, hopefully. And then he brightened up suddenly. Anyhow, it is nearly lunchtime, so he went home for it. We are at exactly halfway to the end of the show, which is perfect timing to start chapter 4, in which Eeyore loses a tail and Pooh finds one. This is exciting. We get to meet Eeyore now. So we just met Piglet, and now we get to meet Eeyore. The old gray donkey, Eeyore, stood by himself in a thistly corner of the forest, his front feet well apart, his head on one side, and thought about things. Sometimes he thought sadly to himself, why? And sometimes he thought, wherefore? And sometimes he thought, in as much as which? And sometimes he didn't quite know what he was thinking about. So when Winnie the Pooh came stumping along, Eeyore was very glad to be able to stop thinking for a little, in order to say, how do you do, in a gloomy manner to him. And how are you, said Winnie the Pooh. Eeyore shook his head from side to side. Not very how, he said. I don't seem to have felt at all how for a long time. Dear, dear, said Pooh. I'm sorry about that. Let's have a look at you. So Eeyore stood there, gazing sadly at the ground, and Winnie the Pooh walked all around him once. Why, what's happened to your tail? He said in surprise. What has happened to it? Said Eeyore. It isn't there. Are you sure? Well, either a tail is there or it isn't there. You can't make a mistake about it. And yours isn't there. Then what is it? Nothing. Oh, I misread that, sorry. Then what is there? Nothing. Let's have a look, said Eeyore, and he turned slowly round to the place where his tail had been a little while ago, and then, finding that he couldn't catch it up, he turned round the other way until he came back to where he was first. Then he put his head down and looked between his front legs, and at last he said, with a long and sad sigh, I believe you're right. Of course I'm right, said Pooh. That accounts for a good deal, said Eeyore gloomily. It explains everything. No wonder. You must have left it somewhere, said Winnie the Pooh. Somebody must have taken it, said Eeyore. How like them, he added after a long silence. Pooh felt that he ought to say something helpful about it, but he didn't quite know what. So he decided to do something helpful instead. Eeyore, he said solemnly, I, Winnie the Pooh, find your tail for you. Thank you, Pooh, answered Eeyore. You're a real friend, said he. Not like some, he said. So Winnie the Pooh went off to find Eeyore's tail. It was a fine spring morning in the forest as he started out. Little soft clouds played happily in a blue sky, skipping from time to time in front of the sun as if they had come to put it out, and then sliding away suddenly so that the next might have his turn. Through them and between them, the sun had shone bravely. In a copse which had worn its furs all the year round, seen old and dowdy, now beside the new green lace, which the beeches had put on so prettily. Through copse and spinney marched Bear, down open slopes of gorse and heather, over rocky beds of streams, up steep banks of sandstone, and into heather again. And so at last, tired and hungry, to the 100-acre wood. For it was in the 100-acre wood that Owl lived. "And if anyone knows anything about anything," said Bear to himself, "it's Owl who knows something about something." Winnie the Pooh. Oh. I'm going to restart that paragraph. "And if anyone knows anything about anything," said Bear to himself, "it's Owl who knows something about something," he said. "Or my name's not Winnie the Pooh," he said. "Which it is," he added. "So there you are." Owl lived at the Chestnuts, an old world residence of great charm, which was grander than anybody else's, or seemed so to Bear, because it had been both a knocker and a bell pull. Underneath the knocker, there was a notice which said, "Please ring if answer is required." Underneath the bell pull, there was a notice which read, "Please knock if ring not required." It's written in, like, really bad English, so I can't really tell what one of the words is supposed to be. Anyways, these notices had been written by Christopher Robin, who was the only one in the forest who could spell. For Owl, wise though he was in many ways able to read and write and spell his own name, W-O-L, yet somehow went to all to pieces over delicate words like measles and buttered toast. Winnie the Pooh read the two notices very carefully, first from left to right, and afterwards, in case he had missed some of it, from right to left. Then, to make quite sure, he knocked and pulled the knocker and pulled and knocked the bell rope. And he called out in a very loud voice, "Owl, I require an answer. It's Bear speaking." And the door opened, and Owl looked out. "Hello, Pooh," he said. "How's things?" "Terrible and sad," said Pooh, "because Eeyore, who is a friend of mine, has lost his tail, and he's moping about it. So could you very kindly tell me how to find it for him?" "Well," said Owl, "the customary procedure in such cases is as follows." "What does crustamony proceed cake mean?" said Pooh, "for I am a bear of very little brain, and long words bother me." "It means the thing to do." "As long as it means that, I don't mind," said Pooh humbly. "The thing to do is as follows. First, issue a reward. Then," "Just a moment," said Pooh, holding up his paw. "What do we do to this? What were you saying?" "You sneezed just as you were going to tell me." "I didn't sneeze." "Yes, you did, Owl." "Excuse me, Pooh, I didn't. You can't sneeze without knowing it." "Well, you can't know it without having been sneezed. What I said was first issue a reward." "You're doing it again," said Pooh sadly. "A reward," said Owl very loudly. "We write a notice to say that we will give a large something to anybody who finds Eeyore's tail." I see, said Pooh, nodding his head. "Talking about large somethings," he went on dreamily, "I generally have a small something about now, about this time in the morning," and he looked wistfully at the cupboard in the corner of Owl's parlor. "Just a mouthful of condensed milk or whatnot, with perhaps a lick of honey." "Well then," said Owl, "we will write out this notice, and we put it up all over the forest." "A lick of honey," murmured Bear to himself, "or not, as the case may be." And he gave a deep sigh.
and tried very hard to listen to what Owl was saying. But Owl went on and on, using longer and longer words, until at last he came back to where he started, and he explained that the person to write out this notice was Christopher Robin. It was he who wrote the ones on my front door for me. Did you see them, Pooh? For some time now, Pooh had been saying yes and no in turn with his eyes shut to all that Owl was saying. And having said yes, yes, last time he said no, not at all. Now, without really knowing what Owl was talking about. Didn't you see them? Said Owl, a little surprised. Come and look at them now. So they went outside, and Pooh looked at the knocker and the notice below it, and he looked at the bell rope and the notice below it. And the more he looked at the bell rope, the more he felt that he had seen something like it. Somewhere else, sometime before. Handsome bell rope, isn't it? Said Owl. Pooh nodded. It reminds me of something, but I can't think of what. Where did you get it? I just came across it in the forest. It was hanging over a bush, and I thought at first somebody lived there, so I rang it. And then nothing happened. And then I rang it again, very loudly. And it came off in my hand, and as nobody seemed to want it, I took it home. Owl, said Pooh solemnly, you made a mistake. Somebody did want it. Who? Eeyore. My dear friend Eeyore. He was fond of it. Fond of it? Attached to it, said Winnie the Pooh sadly. So with these words, he unhooked it and carried it back to Eeyore. And when Christopher Robin had nailed it on its right place again, Eeyore frisked about the forest, waving his tail so happily that Winnie the Pooh came over all funny and had to hurry home for a little snack of something to sustain him. And, wiping his mouth for half an hour afterwards, he sang to himself proudly. Who found the tail? I, said Pooh, at 2:15. Only it was 11:15, really. I found the tail. That is the end of chapter 4. Let me go ahead and see how long chapter 5 is. We only have about 4 minutes left of the show, so I think we'll wrap it up at chapter 5, which is where Piglet meets a Heffalump, so get excited for that. But in the meantime, I'll go ahead and just play some relaxing music, I guess, for the rest of the show, you know. But I'd like to thank everyone for tuning in this week. I hope it was relaxing. I know it is for me. Just nice to take my mind off things and read for a little bit, especially some wholesome stories like Winnie the Pooh. Be sure to, if you'd like, tune in next week, same time, same place, 2:30 on WRCT Pittsburgh. And I also have my show Somewhere in Time Mondays on from 1 to 2. I missed it this week, but next week it'll be my first show of the semester, and I'm really looking forward to that as well. The theme is going to be, let's see here, what's the theme going to be? We're going to be doing Yacht Rock for my music show on Monday. But next week for Goodnight Garden, we'll get back to Winnie the Pooh. So, yeah. Have a good week, everyone. Thank you.
We all make choices about alcohol. Kids make choices whether to drink or not.
Bye, Dad. Remember, I'm going to Alex's party tonight and sleeping over.
Hey, Em. Remind me about that party again.
And adults make choices whether to talk about it. That's true of parents and every other trusted adult in a kid's life. Kids want to know our expectations, and they want honest answers in everyday conversations. So talk with your kids and help lead them on a positive path. Because when you talk, they hear you. Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Goat. G-O-A-T.